There's a third way. People have immigrated and gotten a green card, and they show, most of them have to show that they can understand and speak and even write basic English, and that they've lived here enough years, usually 5 years with green card status or 3 years if they're married to and living with a U.S. citizen husband or wife. They can apply for naturalization. That's a 20-page application. They have to get fingerprinted and do a background check, go to an interview, and then a ceremony. So they become U.S. citizens and can then vote and get a U.S. passport. So we've already covered half of the four major categories. What about these non-immigrants? You see, there's this alphabet soup. Think non-immigrant, not immigrating, temporary. They're coming for a temporary purpose. And then we have immigrants. See that green card? That's someone, it says right on the top, permanent resident. They are here to stay, to make the U.S. their primary residence and home. Permanent, there's just one type, really, this green card status. Non-immigrants, this whole alphabet soup of categories that Michelle mentioned. And no, Michelle, I don't know why they started using these letters, but it made sense at first. Let's go through some of these. A, ambassadors and diplomats. Well, that makes sense. Then we get to B, which is a very important non-immigrant category, visitors. B1, business visitors. B2, visitors like tourists and for pleasure. And you see people lined up outside of U.S. consulates if you travel abroad. Most of them are applying for a visitor visa. Who gets it? In the 100% discretion of the U.S. consular official, if she believes that person is really coming to visit and will spend some money and leave again, the visa is issued. If she suspects maybe this person might just work illegally and stay in the U.S., they're not given the visa. A lot of people are denied visitor visas. So who's likely to get it? The couple who are both working and they have two kids and they want to take the kids to Disney World and they own their home in the home country, they're going to get visitor visas for all four members of the family. Who's not going to get it? Someone that's dropped out of school, they're in their early 20s, they don't have a job. They're probably not going to qualify. The E visa is important. This one is for investors. If your client is coming to the U.S. to develop and direct a business that he or she is going to personally direct and invest a substantial amount of money that they've put at risk, they could get a temporary non-immigrant E visa, provided that their country has a treaty for these treaty investor or treaty trader visas. And we have more than 30 countries that have one of these agreements with the U.S. F, the F visa, is for students, and that's a very important one. Remember from this slide that everyone coming in a non-immigrant category, with very rare exceptions, is supposed to have non-immigrant intent, that they don't plan to stay long-term. And it's the same for students. They can't say, well, I want to get over there and get a job. They have to convince the consular officer that they're here to pursue a course of study, get a degree, and they want to go back to their home country. And so F visas are very, very important to all of our universities and colleges in the U.S. They all depend on international students. There's a J-1 visa for exchange visitors. This is a lot of professors and researchers are coming temporarily, and you have to watch out for your clients because about 80% of the J-1 visas have a hook. It says you have a 2-year obligation to go back to your home country before you could immigrate and qualify for green card. And it's hard to get a waiver in many cases, impossible in some cases, to get out of that two-year commitment. So if someone comes on a J visa and stays here teaching or working for 6 years, and then they marry a U.S. citizen, you have to figure out, wait a minute, you have to try to get a waiver of this two-year obligation to go back to your home country. You can't just turn around and apply for a green card. The H visas, H-1B, that's the most important employment-based category. And in this one, there are numerical limitations. There's only about 85,000 of these numbers that they make available once a year. And there's a lottery. You have to have your employer register you. And then if you get selected, you can qualify for an initial three-year H, and you can extend it for at least 3 years after that. It's essentially for professionals. Guess how many people applied this year for only 85,000 numbers, coveted H-1B numbers? Over 400,000. Do the math. Your odds aren't good. It's really, really hard now to get an H-1. And essentially, the employer has to show that it's for a professional job. For example, a chemist, where you have to have a degree to enter the field. A chemist would need a chemistry degree, an engineer, an engineering degree.